It's Thursday, the day we reach into our email bag and read from your comments to us. Our interview about the case of Tabitha Pollock brought a rebuttal. Pollock was convicted of first-degree murder for failing to prevent her boyfriend from killing her child. Her conviction was overturned with the assistance of the Center for Wrongful Convictions at Northwestern University School of Law. We spoke to the founder of the center.
Terry Patton, the current state's attorney for Henry County, Illinois, the jurisdiction of the original trial, writes, "I must say that I'm disappointed you'd air a program giving only one side of the story. Whether or not you agree that parents can be held accountable for the murder of their children, it is still the law in Illinois. All that has changed is the level of knowledge that parent must have. Prosecutors do not make the law. We enforce it. In Henry County, we will continue to enforce this law using whatever standard the Illinois Supreme Court sets."
Some listeners objected to Brooke Gladstone's report on the relationship of pornography and advances in technology. Douglas Grotheis, who teaches philosophy at the Denver Seminary in Colorado, felt it was tasteless and inappropriate. "I heard no critical comments from people such as myself who believe pornography to be anti-woman, anti-human, and a potent element in the decay of American culture. Instead, listeners were obligated to endure an adolescent tone from the narrator, sickening comments from porn stars and porn magnates, and background music with orgasm sounds."
Blaine Turner in Austin, Texas, disagrees. "While I'm certainly glad my mother wasn't in the room at the time, I found the piece informative and even enlightening. It is odd that most mainstream Americans publicly respond to the industry with revulsion, yet as your story showed, adult entertainment is an economic juggernaut that shows no signs of slowing down."
And John Bookser Feaster, who edits a website called AmericanCatholic.org in Cincinnati, points out, "If pornography leads in advancing new technology, then interestingly, religion must not be far behind. The Gutenberg Bible and the religious uproar that followed, for example, contributed greatly to the growth of printing in the 15th century. In our own day, studies are showing that a large percentage of internet use is for religious purposes. What's the connection? Both religion and pornography are attempts for the human person to find love. Pornography, of course, cannot deliver. Either way, people are willing to endure the foibles of new technology because there's something out there that people really want."
And Diana Muir of Newton, Massachusetts, wrote about hearing our obituary for philosopher Ivan Illich. "While sitting in traffic on the Central Artery, I was reminded not of the books that your reporter focused on, but of the section in Energy and Equity, in which Illich demonstrated that since highways induce people to drive longer distances and to drive to more destinations, it follows that the more highways a city builds, the more time its citizens will waste sitting in traffic."
If you want to reach us, whether or not you're in traffic, you can address your remarks to atc@npr.org. Don't forget to let us know where you're writing from and how you pronounce your name.